from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. He was a decade plus second baseman, a gold glover, a silver slugger. Thank you so much for joining us, Brett. Really appreciate it.
You got it. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm looking at the National League. Here's where I'm going to start. I'm looking at the National League standings right now, and there's about seven teams that are all bunched up. The Cubs are 33 and 35, and we go all the way down to the Diamondbacks, and there's about five teams in between. How would you handicap the last two wild cards? Because it looks like, I mean, there's 8-10 teams that, I mean, could get there.
There is, especially in the National League. I broke it down to this. I think there's two elite teams in the National League. That's the Phillies and that's the Dodgers. Other than that, everybody else is kind of in that next, you know, you drop down to the next category and you kind of got the Atlanta Braves of the world. The Brewers, I think, are a second tier. And then everybody else is kind of put in this kind of melting pot. It's kind of the Padres. San Francisco, if it ended today and it was playoff time, San Francisco is in.
Yeah.
But you look in that Central Division, other than the Brewers, it's as mediocre as any division in baseball when second place is under 500 and everybody follows suit there, but it's tightly bunched. After Atlanta in the East, there's not much there. You got Washington's even ahead of the Mets right now. Mets in fourth place. And then this West, which I really thought was going to be the best division in baseball with the Dodgers. I thought the Padres were going to be better. I thought San Francisco with that pitching staff, although the Giants have been beat up this year. They're just getting healthy. Obviously, Snell hasn't been what's expected to this point, and he's coming off an injury hopefully soon. He's crucial for the San Francisco Giants to make a legitimate run. He's got to be healthy. But that pitching staff, especially the starters, very formidable. Arizona has been a big disappointment for me. I look at them a year ago going to the World Series, two games away from being World Series champion. I thought they improved themselves this offseason. It just hasn't worked out so far. Gallen and Kelly at the top of the rotation have gone down. And then the Colorados, the Miamis of the world. I think the Mets Washington in that same category. They're not going to make a run. So it comes down to, is Cincinnati, Chicago, or St. Louis in the Central going to make a run? And what is San Francisco and the Padres going to do on the West Coast? I think the Dodgers are the obvious class of that division. And then, you go to the East Coast and you got Philly at the top of the division. Philly could be the best team in baseball. Just well-rounded. They got stars all over the field. And I think this year, the young third baseman, Bohm, has got into that star class. And so they just got one more star. The pitching, they're starting... pitching has been phenomenal. I think number one in the National League with Nola, Suarez, and Wheeler. So they're going to be tough. We saw them a year ago. They were tough then. They're going to be tough now. But the rest of it's kind of up for grabs. But right now, Giants, Pods, and Dodgers from the West Coast, all in the playoffs as of today.
I agree, Brett, and wholeheartedly agree about the pitching staff being the strength of the Giants, though they haven't gotten healthy. And I want to zero in on one guy, because yesterday was Logan Webb's day, and look, 12 of his 15 starts this year, he's gotten at least six innings. He's pitched the most innings in the National League, actually Major League Baseball, over the last 2 years now. It seems like he's always in the sixth or the seventh. He's always competing, and after a Cy Young runner-up, it feels like he should be in the conversation with the top guys in baseball, and yet for whatever reason, isn't. I mean, when you think about Logan Webb, do you feel like he is an ace? And if not, how come he doesn't get that kind of respect? Is it because he's throwing more changeups than fastballs? Because he's an old school pitcher? I consider him a one, and I'm just curious if you do.
He's absolutely a one. You know, I've never faced him, but what my eye sees when I watch him pitch, he's absolutely a one. I've been saying for a long time now, he's always in the conversation for me at the beginning of the season where we're handicapping who's going to be in the Cy Young race. I always have Logan Webb waiting for that day to just come to fruition. But I think if you ask hitters around baseball, when Webb is right and he's out there, he's definitely a one for those guys. So yeah, I don't take into consideration new school, old school type pitching. Webb, without a doubt for me, is a number one. You just got to have Snell. He's that guy. Jordan Hicks has been a huge, has done a great job going from the bullpen to the starting rotation, Harrison and Wynn. But man, you got to have Snell. And I think that was the reservation that the Padres had. You know, a year ago, he wins a Cy Young. How many teams don't even have a conversation with a Cy Young Award winner? Snell went out on the open market, went to the San Francisco Giants, because I think with Snell, like with a lot of the free agents this past winter that were signed, and everybody was saying, why isn't Boris getting it done? Well, if you look at him, it's a guy like Snell. He wins a Cy Young in Tampa. He goes to the Padres, has a few okay, decent years, and then all of a sudden emerges as a dominant Cy Young a year ago. So with the Snell, it's always been, yeah, we'll take the Snell that wins a Cy Young, but we don't know what we're going to get. Giants are finding out that right now, and hopefully for the Giants' sake, Snell gets it on the right track coming back from this, I believe it was a groin or hamstring.
Yeah.
You'll have him back soon because you got to have him. If you want to compete in that division with the Dodgers at the top and compete for a playoff spot, I think you, at the top of the show, you talked that you agreed that starting rotation is the strength of that Giants. I think that the city you play in, the ballpark you play in, all plays a factor. But at the end of the day, it's that starting rotation. And for them to make a run, Snell's got to be right.
Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett Boone, former Gold Glover and Silver Slugger, joining us on 95.7 The Game. Brett, how many – baseball is such a long season and there's ebbs and flows. How many games would you say it takes before you really – can know what your team is?
Well, I think if you take out of the equation, if you've had a lopsided amount of injuries, I think there's exceptions for that. But
sure.
if for the most part you go through April and you get through May with your main guys and everybody remaining somewhat healthy, I think you have a pretty good feel of what your team is at this point in the season. Difference is from now and 15, 20, 25 years ago, is the 162-game schedule is not as crucial as it used to be. Back in the day, and you probably have to go even farther back into the 80s on when it was really imperative that you win, and you win the marathon of 162, because there was only two teams from each league going to the playoffs. Now there's you've got 12, six from each league. So the 162, the purist in me doesn't like it. The player in me loved that 162-game grind, because when you were standing at the end, you were a champion, and you were the best of the best for 162 games. As modern day, and we've changed the format, and it's 12 to get in, and not the best team always wins. I think we've watched that the last few years. You know, Arizona getting just limping into the playoffs, two games away from winning a World Series. Dodgers of winning 111 games, 104 games, not getting out of the first round. So it's proven that today, sometimes the formula is going through that wild card route, so anything's up for grabs. The purist in me, the player in me, I don't like it as much. But now sitting here, the 55-year-old analyst that watches the game from an entertainment value and for the good of the game, I think it's awesome.
Well, speaking of the player, Brett, I mean, you had pop, you could hit for average. The two silver sluggers obviously speak to that. But you also played in different ballparks. You played in hitter's parks, and you played in a park in Seattle that isn't considered necessarily a hitter's park. I know you still had multiple 35-plus home run seasons there. But as somebody that enters, say, Oracle Park in San Francisco for the first time, how big of an adjustment is it when, say, you're Jorge Soler, you're coming off a 36 home run season, you've hit 40 more in your career. How difficult is it to adjust to the fact that you might not hit as many home runs, that when you connect with that ball, it's just not going to go as far? How tough is that as a hitter?
Well, I look at it even more at your ballpark up there in San Francisco from a left-hander, because the right center, and that's what makes what Bonds did off the charts impressive to me. It's a couple years ago when Aaron Judge was close to signing with the San Francisco Giants. The player in me took a step back, and you know, I didn't know the intricals, what was going on behind the scenes, but I thought there's no way Aaron Judge, the captain of the Yankees who had been passed on from Derek Jeter and was the heir apparent, is not going to sign with the New York Yankees and go to a ballpark in San Francisco that doesn't fit his mold. A lot of his home runs are fly balls to right center field. In San Francisco, those are outs. Now, as a player, as a hitter, you take all those things into consideration when you're a free agent and you're making a move. Yeah, the money probably is the number one factor, but you always think, where am I comfortable? Do I like the batter's box? Does this ballpark set up to my eye? And it's tough going to San Francisco. I started off playing at Candlestick Park. I played in the new park two or three series, but it was always tough going to San Francisco from a weather standpoint. You know, it could be in the middle of summer, you got long sleeves, and it's a little bit cold, the wind's whipping. You never know. So I always thought the Giants kind of had a built-in home field advantage a little more than the rest of us, because as hitters, I'll be honest with you, I didn't like going to San Francisco, and that's a positive for the home team there.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things we were talking about today was Matt Cain's perfect game 12 years ago. So I was curious just how that offense measured up. And they were dead last in the National League in home runs, but they were number three in batting average, and that's how their offense was able to produce. Do you think that it is possible to put together a great offense without the home run ball, with how good pitching is in the modern game?
I think without a doubt you can. I think you've got to play the game like the Kansas City Royals are playing this year. You've got to play kind of, I like to stay away from the word old school, but I think you play baseball and you play it correctly. It really develops from a team standpoint, a camaraderie that you can't get. You got guys moving runners. You got guys hitting sacrifice flies and sacrifice fly situations. Man, that builds. Because you sit there as a team and you go, if the main guys in this lineup, the two, the three, the four hole hitters are moving runners and getting the job done and playing kind of old school baseball, I'll be damned if the 25th, 26th man on the roster is not going to do the same thing. I had that camaraderie a little bit when I was in Seattle. And it was Edgar Martinez. I remember one day, it was an 8-2 game, and he hit a two-hop grounder to the second baseman. Obviously moved the runner on purpose with no outs, ended up the next guy ended up hitting the sack fly. I went up to Edgar and I said, why'd you do that? 8-2. He said, I found that you played this game right. Over the long haul, over 162 games, you will come out on top. And I always took that to heart, and I started doing that. And now the next guy's doing it, and the next guy's doing it. So, yes, it's about developing that camaraderie, that kind of aura in the clubhouse where you're all pulling on the same end of the rope. So without a doubt, in the modern game, without hitting a lot of home runs, if you play the game right and get that going and just pass it from one guy, pass that torch from one guy to the next, you can definitely be successful in 2024.
Brett, what was your favorite park to hit in? And do you know essentially what you hit in all the opposing ballparks?
Well, you mentioned and back then it was Safeco Field, and they've moved the fences in since. But, yeah, it was always noted as a pitcher's ballpark for some reason. There's no rhyme or reason for it. I just loved hitting at Safeco. Always had success, and people used to say, how do you like hitting here? And I didn't know why. I didn't know whether I saw the ball well or what it was, or it was just that part of my career. But I had a lot of success at Safeco Field. I loved coming to Anaheim. I went to high school and college in Southern California, and maybe it was the home cooking. And I couldn't replay. I loved going to Wrigley. I didn't get to play a ton of series once I went back to the American League there. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like going to old Yankee Stadium. Just the whole experience being in the city of New York for 4 days, walking down, you know, to get the paper in the morning and have guys from across the street screaming at you how you stink and you're going to get crushed tonight. Nothing replaced that for me. I love going to old Yankee Stadium, but that was more the experience than the actual ballpark. The ballparks are weird. Everybody's different. Some pitchers like certain mounds at certain places. Some hitters like certain setups and how it looks to your eye, like a golfer likes a golf hole. Camden Yards, back in the day, they had a terrible rotation. Their team wasn't very good. It was a hitter-friendly ballpark, and I could not get a hit. And everybody else there, the bats would be flying off the rack, and I was like, when do we leave Baltimore? Because I don't know what it is. I didn't see the ball well. Something was off to my eye. I didn't like it. So there's no rhyme or reason. Everybody has their favorites. And usually those cities, no matter how great or how bad the ballpark was, if you hit there, you love that ballpark.
Well, I got to tell you what, Brett, for a guy who didn't necessarily enjoy San Francisco, hitting 295 there is pretty good. I'm looking at it right now.
I'll tell you this.
A lot of flares.
Most of my games there were at Old Candlestick. There was no restroom in the dugout. If you needed to go to the clubhouse during the game, you had to walk across the field. Everything was going against you, wind blowing 100 miles an hour, swirling. And I'll tell you, you get in the box, it feels terrible. But I did have some success there. I hit some balls that I thought were pop-ups that went 10 rows deep. And believe me, though, I hit some balls that I leaned on and thought were 20 rows deep and didn't even get to the warning track. So you never knew what you were going to get when you were in San Francisco. But, yeah, I guess Candlestick. I never liked going there. It's almost like facing Pedro Martinez. I never want to face Pedro, but I always found a way to sneak a walk and a knockout that day. Didn't mean I liked facing him. Just means the results came. Similar to San Francisco.
Yeah, hey, I'm old enough that when you say old Yankee Stadium, Brett, I think of original Yankee Stadium. So that tells you my demographic.
Yeah, love that play. Nothing like it. Nothing. The ghosts of Yankee Stadium.
No, I agree. Hey,
they
Brett.
Will come out.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Brett. Thank you so much for your time, and look forward to talking to you as the summer continues.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Yeah, you poor. You weren't even.
What?
I mean, you'll never have the chance to be in original Yankee Stadium.
I mean, and a lot of people won't ever have the chance to be in the Oakland Coliseum.
That's true.
In a few years.
Yeah, the original Yankee Stadium was
just a stadium.
Well, it was.
Did Ruth actually build it? I've heard rumors.
No, it would be like Chase's. No, it's the exact same thing as saying Steph Curry built Chase Center. See what I'm saying?
He did. I saw KD had the first hard hat.
He did. How'd that end up? Original Yankee Stadium, of course, had monuments on the playing field in left center field. I'll tell you what. We got Kay in here. He's a New Yorker.
Yes, he is.
Where did he?
New Jersey.
Okay. Hey, I got a question for you. What year did original Yankee Stadium become old Yankee Stadium?
Over under the Civil War.
And where'd they play? Where'd they play when Yankee when the original Yankee Stadium was getting redone? I just got to go back to the 70s, yeah. And it's all over.
So you're saying, because there was two, right? So
correct.
You're talking about when they renovated
correct.
Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I remember when it was renovated. Reggie Jackson, right?
I think it's 74.
So that was Billy Martin era.
They played at whatever Ebbets Field used to be? I don't know.
No, they played at Shea Stadium.
Oh, Shea Stadium.
Yeah, they played at Shea.
Okay.
I think at least a year. At least a year, maybe.
Did they ever play at the Polo Grounds? Like, just in Harlem? Because that's where the Mets, or the Giants, rather, used to play. And the Mets, I think, played there one or two years?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that original Yankee Stadium was cavernous. It was immense. And then old Yankees, like, forget the one now. Old Yankee Stadium. I'm sorry. That was the greatest stadium of all time.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up old venues that had a ridiculous amount of memories for a lot of people, because in 2019, today, the final time that Oracle Arena opened its doors.
That's 5 years. So
the 2019 finals.
This is the anniversary of the game 6 loss to Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know, one thing I found.
It's been 5 years since the Warriors played in Oakland.
Huh. Tempest Fugit.
Excuse me?
Tempest Fugit.
Is that a band?
Time flies in Latin.
Oh.
It really does. By the way,
what are you doing to our listeners?
I'm trying to educate.
We're not trilingual.
Inform.
Because I'm assuming you speak another language if you also speak Latin, because who speaks
English.
Latin anymore?
Well, Latin is a great language to study because it's so old that it's really the foundation for many, many languages.
Yes,
and
it is.
And if you know a little bit of Latin, you can kind of put together what words mean that you might not know. Nevertheless.
You took Latin in school?
Yeah, I took it in high school, and then I took it 1 year in college.
See, they didn't even.
That's why I'm so great
Latin.
With words.
Because you know Latin. You actually know Latin.
I mean, amo amas amat. Amatus amatus amat.
I took Latin in high school, too. It was so hard.
Vinny, Vinny, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. The ablative case.
I don't say this often, but you are impressing me.
Marjorie Wagner was my teacher. She was wonderful.
Oh, shout out Miss Wagner.
Well, she's long gone.
No, that's why I'm shouting her out.
She's gone.
This is.
Hey, by the way, did you happen to watch the Giants game?
Yes.
Game 2 of the Astros series.
Yes.
Okay. So there was a play there, and this is sometimes I see stuff that nobody else sees, but I know I'm right. Kind of like the Crescent City.
How
thing.
Would you describe it in Latin?
Okay. So Mauricio Dubon, former Giant, is up, and he hits a ball down the left field line. And Conforto starts running to his right toward the foul line. And he starts to pull up.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball bounces in play, goes over the wall for a ground rule double. I'm telling you right, and they never showed a replay. I'm telling you right now, that ball hit the screening and glanced, ricocheted a hair onto the playing field, and they didn't see it.
So you're saying it was a foul ball?
It was absolutely a foul ball, and I think it must have grazed off the netting where the metal was, because Conforto was like he didn't misjudge it. He did not misjudge the ball. He was looking at it, and he just started pulling up because he's like, that's a foul ball, and it's going to land. And it hit something. It didn't ricochet. It was just like.
But Mauricio Dubon still got a double out of it.
He did. Right, but it should have been a foul ball is what I'm saying.
Was Angel Hernandez the umpire?
No. No. Anyway, that like the Crescent City Solar Project, if you saw that.
Crescent Dunes.
Crescent Dunes. By the way, it's Crescent Dunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crescent City.
Great city in Northern California. You ever been there? Crescent City.
I thought Crescent City was in Oregon. Am I tripping?
Crescent City is California.
Damn it.
I think it's the northernmost city in California, but it is on the border. I think the first... I think the first city in Oregon is Brookings.
Count the bucket.
Brookings is the first city in Oregon when you pass the cross the border. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know because you always go to the dunes up there to play golf.
Just not always, twice. But
gotta go a little further.
That's from my days as driving my family around in an RV. I would highly recommend that. 33-footer with pop-outs. Your boy can drive the big RVs.
I was thinking of Newport. Apologies.
What I need to do is drive the fifth wheel. Like, that's what I need to do. Tow the fifth wheel. Then you have access. Do you know the difference between a regular RV vehicle and what they call a fifth wheel?
No, but I've fifth wheeled a decent amount.
No, it's not third wheel like when you're...
Yeah, but you can also be a fifth wheel.
Bothering somebody that's on a date.
Or you can bother two couples that are on a date.
Well, I'll explain that on the other side.
Seventh wheel stuff, though.
By the way, it's not quite a guru's gripe, but Evan, something's bothering Evan, and he's gonna let somebody have it maybe on the other side. Hey, what's coming up on the game? Your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Alameda County Fair. Listen in at 12:30 to win a 4-pack to the Alameda County Fair. It's all presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.